The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Janet will be joining us at about 10:30 today. But I wanted to start off today. I came across an article about the statin drugs. And we've talked a lot about statin drugs in the past, how it's really the wrong approach. But what caught my eye on about this article, you know, the statin drugs include Lipitor, Crestor, Zocor. What caught my eye was the statistic that in the year 2014, $374 billion was spent on drugs in this country. And so I was curious. I say, you know, I just wonder, what are the other drugs that make up the top on that list? And before I get there, though, I just wanted to say, you know, statin drugs, although they've done a good job, you know, selling the idea of taking drugs to lower cholesterol, that really doesn't solve the problem of reducing the incidence of heart disease and the other problems associated with taking the statin drugs include increased incidence of cataracts, fatigue, liver problems, muscle pain, memory loss, even diabetes. So, you know, when I read the side effects of these drugs, I say, why would anybody want to risk putting that type of substance in your body when all you have to do to lower cholesterol, except in one instance, familial hypercholesterolemia, a genetic disorder where your cholesterol levels are super high. You know, if you just change your diet, change to a healthier diet, why would anybody want to be against that? Granted, it's not the easiest thing. You know, when I talk about this to patients and I say cut back on the carbohydrates because that's what you need to do, and their immediate response is always, well, what's left to eat? And that should be a real telltale sign, too, about how we're eating and we're not doing the best. But the reward for changing your diet is so much. I mean, most of your problems, the common problems that people face, weight gain, high blood pressure, maybe they're in the pre-diabetes stage, which means they're developing insulin resistance and high cholesterol. All those things correct themselves just by the dietary change. So here's some interesting statistics. And this is by the first set of statistics is by the number of prescriptions written on a monthly basis. The top 10, number one is Synthroid. Every month, about 21 million prescriptions for Synthroid are written. Second on the list is Crestor. That's for, Synthroid, as you know, is for thyroid issues. Crestor for lowering cholesterol, also another 21 million prescriptions. Next on the list is Ventolin for asthma, 18 million. Nexium for GERD, you know, gastroesophageal reflux, 15 million. Advair for asthma and COPD, 13 million. Lantus for diabetes, 10 million. Vyvanse, it's not a drug I'm not familiar with, but that's for ADHD, 10 million. Then you have Lyrica. They use that for pain, and Spiriva for COPD, and Januvia for diabetes. So that tops the top 10. At the bottom of the list, the monthly prescription numbers are 9 million. And the reason I'm bringing this up, and we'll get into the dollars in a minute, but the reason I bring this up is this is gives you a better insight into how healthcare is practiced in this country. Now, there are some conditions that we have less control over than others. For example, the thyroid conditions. Now, you may choose a different approach to a thyroid disorder than taking Synthroid, but nevertheless, you know, thyroid issues, we have little control over. I think cholesterol, we have a lot of control over. Asthma and COPD, to some extent, we have control over, especially COPD if you were a smoker. But we still haven't gotten a good handle on asthma. A lot of people suffer from asthma, and they really didn't do anything that would bring that up. And we're not really sure what's really behind that. So we just treat it symptomatically. And, of course, you have the insulin-dependent diabetic. We don't understand that one either. Non-insulin diabetes, we understand a little bit more. If you keep eating too many carbohydrates over a long period of time, eventually you develop insulin resistance, and then which means you have to put out a lot more insulin to control your blood sugar. And eventually you can't keep up with the demand, so your insulin production drops and your blood sugar goes up. And that's adult onset or non-insulin dependent diabetes. 90% of the diabetics are in that category. The 10% are in the insulin dependent, and we really don't know much about that except those patients need to take insulin. We don't understand really why the pancreas has failed in those people. And then, those are the top 10. So some of those drugs are absolutely necessary, in my opinion. But I'm always looking for safer alternatives, of course. But these are the numbers. Now, these are the dollar signs associated with the top 10 drugs. And this is a real eye-opener, at least it was for me. Humira, now that wasn't on the top 10 in prescriptions, but it's number one on the number of dollars spent. And I'm going to assume these dollars represent on a yearly figure, $8.2 billion on Humira. That's a drug that's used for rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, psoriasis. I think there may be other approaches and more natural approaches that can be used to address this condition. But in mainstream medicine, you treat the symptom, and that's what that drug does. Abilify, that's a fairly new one. I've heard it advertised on TV for schizophrenia and bipolar disorders, $7.9 billion. Sovaldi, again, I heard that on TV. A new one for hepatitis C, $6.9 billion. Crestor, number four on the list, that's a cholesterol-lowering drug, of course, $5.9 billion. So I think you get the picture here that so much money is being made by the sale of these prescriptive drugs. There's a big market that needs to be protected by the pharmaceutical companies. Enbrel, another one you've heard commercials for, $5.9 billion. Rheumatoid arthritis and psoriasis. Harvoni, $5.3 billion. That's for hepatitis C. And I always wonder how they come up with some of these names. Nexium. Now, of all the drugs out there for reflux disease, I guess that's number one as far as how much money we're spending, $5.3 billion. Now, the interesting thing about reflux disease, we can do a lot to improve that without the use of a drug. And mainly is paying attention more to your diet. How much you eat, caffeine plays a role, alcohol plays a role. You want to cut back on those categories before you just take a drug and decide you want to eat anything you want. The next group, $4.7 billion, is Advair, which is for COPD and asthma. And then you have Lantus, which is for diabetes, $4.7 billion, and Remicade for Crohn's disease and psoriasis, $4.6 billion. So you can see we're talking overall, probably in the hundreds of billions of dollars Americans are spending every year. Well, actually, the number was over $300 billion on prescriptive drugs. And I just have to wonder just how necessary are they? In my practice, and again, we see patients who really do a good job taking care of themselves. A lot of them come from the radio show because they want an approach that doesn't focus on what's the best drug to prescribe, but what can we do to maintain our health and remove any impediments to staying healthy. So we're spending over $300 billion a year on drugs when so much more could be done to keep ourselves drug-free. I was going to say that the vast majority of our patients take probably no drugs, or at best one or two. So it's not inevitable that people have to be on 10 or more drugs a month, and there are people doing that. But it all goes back to a lifestyle. And lifestyle includes what you eat, which is a major portion. You know, there's that saying, I never appreciated it as much as I do now when I first heard it over 30 years ago, we dig our graves with our forks. What you eat is so important, and more importantly today than ever before, because our food supply is becoming so contaminated that our choices are becoming more and more restricted in order to stay with the safest foods to eat. And it's interesting that I have to use the word safest instead of healthiest. Now, as it turns out, most of the time the safest foods are the healthiest as well. But I'm using that term because we have to try to avoid all the pesticides in the foods, all the chemicals they're putting in the foods. So we want to look for the safest foods as well as the healthiest. We need to get enough sleep, which goes hand in hand with our stress in our lives. Stress is a major factor. We don't really have a good test to identify excess stress in people. But stress is a major factor. Exercise is another one. And you have to really look at how you're treating your bodies to see if you're measuring up in each of those categories. Are you eating as well as you should be? Are you exercising as much as you should be? Are you getting enough sleep? Dealing with the stress that most of the time is self-inflicted. I say that, and patients tell me that it's still difficult, and I understand that, but a lot of stress is created by each of us by creating unrealistic expectations for ourselves. You know, be realistic about what you require, and that'll help control stress. But right now we have to take a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be back right after this.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on improving your health? You want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule consultations with me, Janet Cimarelli, at janetcimarelli.com. I'm a licensed nutrition counselor, and I specialize in the field of natural foods and supplements. I offer consultations with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. I'll educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. I will include information on overcoming allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with me, and I'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health. Visit JanetCimarelli.com and tune in to hear me on Natural Doc Radio here on WNN, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us now is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Dr. Slavin. So much to talk about today.
You made it a little bit earlier.
Okay, yes, I did.
Well, you know, I don't know if you heard the first part. I was talking about the fact that we spend over $300 billion a year just on prescription drugs. And we were talking about the ways that we can avoid the need for all those prescriptions. I was saying, we mentioned it before on the show, that some people take 10 or more prescriptions a month, and yet in our practice here, I have patients that are on no prescriptions, and I'm not saying, and, you know, they're in their 70s and 80s and 90s on no prescriptions. How could that be? Do they have better genetics?
I think that when you are testing and understanding the situation of disease situations that may be developing 10 years before symptoms are apparent, and then the other part of it, the black side of the coin, if you will, is it seems as though our government agencies are very, very much under the control of pharmaceutical companies, calling the shots. The diagnostic techniques used in medical training are very much focused on pharmaceuticals. And the idea that sometimes when the patients go to the doctors, they feel disappointed if they don't get a pharmaceutical.
Well, I think that's part of it. I think it's also the physician's way of getting them out of the office quicker. You know, they have very limited time to see patients. So here's a prescription. Goodbye. Instead of really taking the time to find out why the patient needs that prescription. Bet you the doctors never ask that question of them. You know, why does that patient need that hypertensive prescription? What's causing their hypertension so I don't have to give them a prescription? Why is their blood pressure high so I don't have to give them a prescription if we address the causes? You know, those are the questions that are never asked by the physicians.
Unfortunately, just talking about hypertensive patients so many times, and I've said this before on the show, that the doctors tell their patients, now watch your salt intake, low sodium diet, and indeed that whole mineral issue, the potassium, magnesium, sodium profile, it's totally out of balance. And so there's nothing there to naturally support proper blood pressure. And then this whole idea of magnesium deficiency that we know about, and then sugar, and indeed, even the no-calorie sweeteners have an impact on your blood sugar chemistry. That blood sugar chemistry change translates ultimately in many patients to high blood pressure.
Exactly, because the body doesn't really treat the zero-calorie sweeteners differently than the natural sweeteners like organic sugar would be my recommendation if you had to have a sweetener, or stevia if you didn't mind the taste of that. But one of the points I was making in order to try and improve your health, I think the major point was you have to think about eating or making better food choices. And I said you have to, you know, it was interesting. I didn't just say you had to choose healthy foods. You had to choose safe foods. Now, why would we even have to think in those terms, choosing foods that are safe to eat, not just healthy?
Unfortunately, our food supply is so contaminated with pesticides, herbicides, artificial fertilizers, and then the crops are picked at many times before truly ripening. The transportation of our foods cross-country, possibly in trucks that are so hot, and the time from harvest to table may be very, very lengthy. And by the time the food gets to our tables, all of the chemicals are intact, but the nutrients may have been dissipated. Very sad.
Now, when choosing healthy foods as well as safe foods, you really have to, again, go towards organically grown foods. But here are some interesting statistics. Different foods are sprayed with varying amounts of pesticides. I think we all know that. For example, eating one serving of green beans from the U.S. is 200 times riskier than consuming American-grown broccoli. And this was according to Consumer Reports. And the reason this is important to think about is when I studied Americans, they found that there were traces of 29 different chemicals detected in their body. So we're storing these chemicals because we're being exposed to them. So you have to think of ways to limit your exposure. Now, strawberries have been, I think, notorious for being sprayed a lot. Upwards of 36 different types of pesticides were found with strawberries. 39 were found on raspberries. So here again, you have to think organic when you're buying these fruits.
Unfortunately, so many people, they are focusing on the berries because there's going to be fiber, minerals, and their idea is the sugar content in berries is a little less than some of the other fruits that might be chosen, say, to add to your protein shake. And we're looking at those berries as being more nutrient dense. But the truth of the matter is we have neglected to observe what the contamination is. And years ago, we used to fight off the irradiation process, that the irradiation was going to stop the ripening process because it was going to kill all the bacteria. And that has kind of been sidelined. But boy, do we need to pay attention to the chemicals that are contaminating our foods. And when those chemicals get into our bodies, unless you have superior nutrient content in your daily routine, unless you have really pure water in your daily routine, those chemicals are going to accumulate and unfortunately take a toll in the long term on your good health.
Now, I know that a lot of the patients I come in contact with sometimes comment that the organic foods are a little bit more expensive than the non-organic. If you have to make a choice, though, at least give your children the organic fruits and vegetables because they are way more susceptible to the pesticide toxicity because they're much smaller. So you have to think about that. Here's a little tidbit. Cherry tomatoes grown in the U.S. have a low risk level regarding pesticides, while cherry tomatoes grown in Mexico have a high risk. Cucumbers grown in Canada have a low risk, while cucumbers grown in Mexico and the U.S. have a high risk level with regard to pesticides.
It's very, very interesting that there's such an incredible difference in pesticide exposure from country to country. And our government is in the process of making it or taking away the requirement for your grocer to show the country of origin. And we really need to know that in order to make informed decisions.
Now, here's a sort of an average look at everything. The report shows that cilantro, grapes, green onions, and mushrooms are considered to be low risk. And by the way, we're not mentioning these are non-organically produced produce. So those are low risk, while peaches, green beans, sweet bell peppers, sweet potatoes, and tangerines are considered to be high to very high risk. But again, if you get organic, then you put everything into the low or very low risk category.
Okay, and people are making the choice for sweet potatoes because of the fiber content, the mineral content, the whole profile of nutrition status for sweet potatoes, a potentially much better health-supporting choice over a white potato. However, when you get to the details and find out that the contamination is significant, again, you feel like you're between a rock and a hard place.
We have to put this into context. So why are we so concerned about this exposure to pesticides? Yeah, because they have serious effects on people. Just think about what happens to an insect that you spray. It's the same kind of pesticides they're putting on your foods. You know, the insect is dead in seconds. And think about what happens to you. It doesn't kill you in seconds because it's a very small amount you're getting. It just kills you more slowly. Destroys your nervous system, enhances your risk of developing cancer. So a lot of things to consider when you're choosing the food you eat.
It's very, very interesting because I say, okay, finding an insect in your food is not going to kill you. But in the long term, that chemical used to kill the insect is going to kill you or at least take a very serious toll on your health.
Yeah, that reminds me of the... what I heard once, what's worse than finding a worm in your apple?
I know the answer to this one, yeah. Dr. Slavin.
Yeah. A half a worm.
Yeah. so much information. Now, what is your opinion of this statement? Enhancing your nutrient status by optimizing cellular content of minerals, vitamins, the whole profile of nutrients, is going to potentially minimize the damage from exposure to chemicals.
Well, it will to some extent, but of course there's no substitute for not being exposed to the chemicals.
Okay, but for, to a certain extent, we're going to be protecting ourselves with, and pardon this expression, mega doses. Because, you know, so many times when people talk to their physicians, the doctors tell them, you know, there's no need for mega doses of nutrients. All you need is 100% of the daily value. And my reply to that is the 100% of the daily value, which is an advertising tag for certain of the vitamins that are found in the mainstream marketplace, that is a politically arrived at number. It doesn't necessarily take into consideration you as an individual that's very petite or very large, overweight, underweight, with a specific genetic background, possibly a specific diagnosis, poor quality diet. So 100% daily value is essentially meaningless. I hear music, Dr. Slavin.
Well, just one last thing to sort of give our listeners an idea. If we were grading something, 100% of the daily value would give you a D, just beyond failing. But we want to optimize on nutritional intake. And we really would like to get an A in nutrition. So daily values are not going to get you there. But right now, it's time for us to take a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio, and we'll be back right after this.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio. which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991.
We're back. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And Janet, I want to switch topics in a moment the latest mammogram guidelines that were just issued. But before I do that, to highlight why testing is so important, and unfortunately, doctors aren't doing these types of tests. They're doing tests at best just to see what drugs they can prescribe for you instead of seeing where your deficiencies are. The top 11 common nutritional deficiencies include vitamin D, omega-3 fats, believe it or not. You know, our diet is full of omega-6 fats, but omega-3s are what you really need to do. Vitamin K, magnesium, vitamin B12, vitamin E. You know, the doctors will check B12 from now and then, but only when you're symptomatic. And the time to find out these problems are before you're symptomatic. You know, that to me, that makes the most sense. That's why our next topic about mammograms also doesn't make sense. Why do we wait for women to get breast cancer before we jump into action? But we'll get to that in a minute. Vitamin A is another commonly deficient nutrient. And when I'm reading these off, what do you think about why you're deficient? Because these nutrients come from your diet, and it's just highlighting the fact that the diets of Americans are very poor. You know, they came up with the term affluent malnutrition. That's because in this country, you have people that are malnourished, but they're not starving. They're not skinny. They're overweight, but they're malnourished. You know, iodine, calcium, iron, you know, these are all things that need to be checked for. Unfortunately, your doctors aren't doing it. And this is probably one of the reasons why the patients that come to us, they're eating better, they're taking supplements, they're on very few, if any, medications. And that's probably the reason, because I can't see any difference other than that. How about you, Janet? Do you have another explanation?
Well, your patients are not taking any of those antacid-type drugs to address those kind of things. We are going to, those drugs are going to interfere with your ability to absorb nutrients, mostly. And patients, for the most part, are not taking cholesterol-lowering drugs. That statin class of drugs and the NAC substances, reduced rice, that are meant to lower cholesterol levels. Those interfere with the ability to metabolize properly and utilize omega-3 fatty acids, E, A, D, right? Okay. So that whole picture with the pharmaceuticals, that whole picture creates a situation where people don't have the it's a very sad situation.
Janet, I have to ask the engineer if you're coming across, because it seems the connection has broken down a little bit.
Okay, I can't tell. I'll try to relocate.
All right, But I wanted to just discuss a little bit about the new guidelines for mammograms. Has a lot of women upset, but in reality, it won't make a difference because mammograms were never a good test to begin with. The change in the guidelines are the first mammogram is now recommended to start at 45 instead of age 40. And then for between the ages of 45 to 55, they recommend one every year. You know, it's funny, we say one mammogram, but one mammogram is really x-ray exposure four times. They take two x-rays of each breast each time. You know, and that's another interesting thing. They don't call it an x-ray, even though it is. They say it's a mammogram. Doesn't make you think that you're being exposed to ionizing radiation. And, you know, we have to discuss this. Now, clearly, breast cancer is more common as women get older, but it seems that breast cancer in younger women are more deadly. And they're omitting that group of women from mammograms. And probably that's an okay thing because mammograms are not a good way to evaluate this. Young women, or better yet, maybe this is a subtle admission that they're finally admitting that premenopausal women have denser breast tissue, and the mammograms really are not a good approach to visualizing that. So, again, I have to recommend thermography because that's a functional test evaluating the temperatures in the breast, because a normal breast, if you look at a woman with normal breasts, they will be symmetrical in temperature, no hot spots, and they will respond to a cold challenge, meaning the temperature in the breast will go down when your hands are put in cold water. That's a normal response. So if you have hot spots or you don't respond to the cold challenge, it's an indication that there's something wrong. Thermography picks up abnormalities. Functional abnormalities occur before anatomical or the growth of tumors, you know, as much as 10 years earlier. And the first signs of a functional abnormality are usually hormonal. Breasts are being exposed to abnormally high levels of hormones. And in premenopausal women, they're either making those hormones or they're taking them in the form of birth control pills or getting them from the environment, from plastics, maybe consuming too much soy, things like that. And mammograms aren't going to help you out there. And mammograms, again, just like all the tests that doctors do, are looking for ways to sell drugs. In the case with mammograms, they're looking for women to operate on or give chemotherapy or radiation therapy to. Where is the effort or the push to identify women at risk of developing breast cancer and take the appropriate steps to reduce that risk so women don't have to be faced with what do I do now as far as what approach? And they're still doing and recommending needle biopsies. I would have to say to any woman who is being told that mammogram, which I don't recommend, but they're doing them anyway, that looks like cancer, get a needle biopsy. Get an MRI with or without contrast before that needle biopsy, before you stick a needle into tissue that might be cancerous and risk spreading the tumor. Janet?
All of that very, very important information. I'm just checking with you. How is the sound coming through now?
Sounds okay now.
Okay, perfect. All right. So what I want to know is, where was the science that said women should start having mammograms once a year at age 40 so that now we have additional scientific information that tells us, no, we are not achieving any health benefit by starting at age 40. Oh, let's try age 45. Where's the science? I don't necessarily believe that there is good, hard, scientific information that's behind either of those recommendations. And then, as you said, Dr. Slavin, well, here are the women who are in an age of hormone changes. So how many doctors are checking an appropriate profile of hormones in that age category of women? Not too many doctors are doing that. And you don't need just estradiol, you need a much more comprehensive evaluation of hormone ratios, and that's what's important, the ratios among the different types of estrogen and the ratio between the estrogen and the progesterone. Then the doctors, for the most part, they are starting to, but not all doctors do, unless requested, test vitamin D levels. And what do we know for sure? We know for sure that vitamin D status is a significant, has a significant impact on breast health. And my final word on the subject, or the question, what's the biggest killer of women?
Heart disease, and you're fading out again, Janet.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, it's heart disease, and are we mounting such an important effort as we have with breast cancer? Are we addressing all of the issues? And let's just say vitamin E status for a beginning. Dr. Slavin, did you talk all about the special event coming up on October 31st?
Not yet. I'm glad you reminded me. Advanced Medical Testing Center is having a special event October 31st. That's a Saturday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. And what makes this event special is that they're offering free lab testing, a complete blood count, which looks at your white count, your hemoglobin to make sure you're not anemic, and your platelet count. They're also including a serum chemistry panel that looks at kidney function, your blood sugar, liver function, electrolytes, and a urinalysis. So that event, again, is October 31st from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. We're starting early because we're giving people an opportunity to come in fasting if they want to know what their fasting blood sugar is, and they have the opportunity to order other tests. For example, maybe you'd like to also check your insulin level out while you're fasting. So other tests will be available at a very low price as well. But those three are for free. And if you'd like to come, the number to call is 754-216-2332, 754-216-2332. You can find out this information if you go to our website, naturaldocradio.com. We have it posted, so you can get that information as well. Janet, there was a very interesting point made in this report about the mammograms. They say that 90 to 95% of women above the age of 40 and older are in the average risk category for breast cancer. But here is how they describe women at high risk. High risk includes those who have been diagnosed with breast cancer in the past. Well, that's obvious. Those with the breast cancer gene or a family history of breast cancer. But here's the thing that really stood out for me. Or those with a history of chest radiation as a child or young adult. So they're admitting here that exposure to radiation increases your risk of breast cancer. And yet we're radiating these women year after year and not paying any attention to that exposure. So just something to think about. But right now, time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor, offers remote counseling sessions. She'll work with you to help you manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She'll help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. Sessions are offered via telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she'll provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with us today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We've been talking about the changes in the mammogram recommendations that were just released. And it's, I think the way they phrase some of the things, it just goes to show you that they're not even convinced of its effectiveness in helping women. Well, the way they put it is prolong their life, you know, not dying at an earlier age than expected. They're not even talking about curing women, and they never talk about preventing breast cancer. That's the one thing that I think should be obvious to everybody. Janet, have you ever heard anybody talk about preventing breast cancer?
I think we're it, Dr. Slavin. I think that most of the time what people are doing are focusing on that whole picture of early diagnosis, and they're not looking at all of the very, very things that we know are going to be supportive of healthy hormone ratios, healthy nutrition status. And you mentioned those people who are considered to be at high risk for developing breast cancer. What's really very interesting, unfortunately, you mentioned the gene for breast cancer. And I'm sorry, but diet, nutrition status, lifestyle, exercise, that whole picture is very, very much something that trumps your genetic status. So if you have that gene, one of the things that you need to do is be very, very aware of testing your hormones. Be very aware of your vitamin D status, and I'm going to say vitamin A and E as well. And, you know, status. Thyroid function, the list goes on and on and on about how you can protect yourself. Don't think of yourself as a victim. Don't think of yourself in the category of, I'm high risk for breast cancer. Oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? I better have a mammogram every year. No, take the focus off the mammograms and onto nutrient status.
Well, in Europe, when you have the breast cancer gene, mammograms are contraindicated because you're at more risk of developing breast cancer from ionizing radiation. And that's what you get with a mammogram. So they say we're not going to do mammograms in that group of women because of that increased risk. The best, if you feel a lump or there's something suspicious and you want to get a good look at it, you can do an ultrasound, but even the ultrasound is not the best tool, although it's a good screening tool at the in the early stages of evaluating your breast. But a MRI with and without contrast is seems to be the best tool we have right now. And the reason I say MRI is because there's no radiation with that and no compression. You know, they talk about these new mammograms, the digital mammograms, and, you know, the computerized interpretation. But the when they study the increased diagnostic capabilities of it, really didn't improve that much what was already being done. So it took it didn't make a bad test much better. And that bad test is mammograms. It didn't. You still have the radiation exposure. You still have the compression. All these things need to be avoided.
One of the things that I think is...
Jana, we just lost you. All right, we're checking on Janet. And, yeah, she's been calling in on a cell phone, so hopefully she'll be back with us in a moment. With regard to breast cancer, by the time you have symptoms, you've allowed an underlying process to go on. In other words, it takes many years for a tumor to grow large enough to be visualized on a mammogram. And yet thermography identifies women at risk of developing tumors before they start growing. And that's the time you want to be aware of the problem. So thermography, no radiation, no compression. It's a physiologic test. It's recognized, by government agencies as a very important tool in the category of screening. However, there have been studies that compared the accuracy of thermography in identifying breast cancer compared to MRI, and they were in sync. I mean, the thermography picked up the abnormalities. Doesn't see what the tumor looks like, but it picks up abnormalities in the form of increased temperature. That's a telltale sign of a problem. Janet, you're back with us.
I'm back with us, yes, and I apologize. My phone dropped the call. And so I was talking about antioxidant status, so critically important. And then when you don't have proper probiotic status, that microbiome that is getting more and more attention these days, some of the things that happen would be body is processing the estrogen out of your, properly processing it, getting it ready to move out of your body. If you don't have the beneficial bacteria present in sufficient amounts in your gut, then the possibility of that estrogen hanging out in your lower digestive tract and possibly being reabsorbed into your bloodstream is a very important aspect of evaluating and maintaining your health, maintaining that proper estrogen progesterone balance. So using that Jana juice and the Jana biotic together, you're getting probiotic benefit across the board. You can go to janazon.com and see all of those different probiotic substances. It isn't that super 80 billion, 100 billion, 150 billion, 500 billion that you're seeing in the stores. It's a very reasonable daily dose of beneficial bacteria that allow your body, those bacteria allows your body to process the used up forms of hormones that are getting ready to be excreted by the body. That's so important. So let's say that there is a deficiency of the beneficial nutrients. What you need is support for your antioxidant status. We talked about vitamin A and E and D and iodine. So important. Selenium. Selenium is a trace mineral that far too many people are so deficient in, and that deficiency can very much contribute to a negative overall antioxidant status. There are just so many different aspects of this. What are you going to do? First of all, start to change your diet. Remove those things from your diet that you know are contributors to development of disease. I just wanted to let everybody know that on October 31st from 8 to 11, I will be at the Advanced Medical Testing Center, and I'll be talking to people about the different tests that, in addition to that free test that they're going to have at advanced medical testing centers, there are different things, depending on what your priorities are, different things that you will give you a really good insight into the state of your health.
All right. And that number again is 754-216-2332. Janet, I started off the program stating that we spend over $300 billion a year on prescriptions. And I just want you to think about what that means. That means we're the healthiest country because we spend the most on drugs. Who's taking responsibility for the state of our health care when we rank around 40th in longevity in the world, yet spending more money than the rest of the world combined on taking prescription drugs?
There is possibly a little bit of pharmaceutical corporate input with our choices of medical care.
Oh, definitely. And this is what we want to increase awareness by the consumer that drugs are not the only approach that can be very effective. Other approaches can be very effective in not only dealing with your symptoms, but actually allowing you to heal up. The drugs don't allow you to heal up. That's why month after month, year after year, people are buying the same prescriptions over and over again.
That's it. Very often, the people that come to see me, they tell me that their doctor has said, well, you'll be using this for the rest of your life. You're on it for life. And I'm going to say, think about what, now I'll pick on cholesterol-lowering drugs, how negative an impact they have on your immune system.
All right, we've just run out of time. I'd like to thank all of our listeners. You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. We're here every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy.